Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just join in with us on the songs. Glory to God. Never ever will lose its power. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise. Yes. Glory and honor to you, Lord. Hallelujah. That blood still speaks. Glory to God. The blood that Jesus shed for you.
Still flows to the We just rejoice in being able to join you this day. This is Easter Sunday, and what a great and glorious time for us to just come back together, even though it's through Facebook and through video, and we can't be with each other, you know, directly in front of each other, but we are with each other in spirit. And I'm excited to come with you about the offering this day. This is something that the Lord put in my heart several weeks ago, back before we had to put a postponement on coming together and being in our services. And he gave me two words. There's one word he said, observe. And he asked me the question, what are you observing right now? And the other word is to be, how are you minded? Now, this will make more sense as we get into it, but I want you to turn to Joshua, the first chapter. Now, I know you're at home sitting there and watching. You're on your couch or at your breakfast table or wherever you are right now, but I want you to encourage you to get out a notepad and let's take some notes, because the thing is about Scripture and about taking it in and making it a part of who you are is you've got to keep it before your eyes. You've got to put it in your ears, and then when you write it down, it just helps solidify those things. So turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. You're very familiar with this scripture, but it says, this book of the law. Now, when I say this book, I'm talking about this Bible, this scripture. It is the word of God, and this word is living and active, and the Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides asunder between the soul and the spirit of man. So he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, what that's really saying is that the only thing that should be departing out of your mouth is the word of God, the promises that are in this word. We shouldn't be talking fear. We shouldn't be talking about, you know, all the deadliness of the coronavirus and all the other stuff that's going on in the economy and the stock market and all that stuff. We can get caught up in those things, but what he wants us to do is to speak his word. So this word shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, I want to turn to one other scripture here while we talk about that word meditate. What does it mean to meditate the word of God? And if you go to Proverbs, the fourth chapter, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, and that means I've got to get there as well, right? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, this is what he means by meditating. He says, my son, attend or give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. So, you know, Jesus said, with the heart, man believes, all right? So that's how you meditate the word of God. And then you go back to Joshua 1:8, and he says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe. And that's where the Lord caught me the other day. He said, what are you observing? And when we look around in the news media, we hear about, you know, how many people are dying of the coronavirus. We hear about how many people are being infected with it. We hear about all the hundreds of thousands of people around the world and how many people in Italy have died and how many people in New York have died. And if we catch ourselves observing those things, we're going to get stuck in all the natural things that are going on. And we're going to forget that we've got a God who's risen. We've got a Savior who's risen from the dead. And he's now alive on the inside of us. So the Lord caught me and he said, what are you observing during these turbulent times? These are unprecedented times. Make no mistake about it. But we serve an awesome God. We serve a God who is more than the coronavirus and this COVID-19 and all the other things that try to war against you, which is one of the reasons why we encourage everybody out there to meditate in Psalms 91. Yes. Meditate in the fact that surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from this noisome pestilence. I look at the coronavirus as a noisome pestilence, and we've been delivered from that. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. So then the other scripture that the Lord brought to me, and this is about being minded a certain way, and you're asking the question, what does this have to do with the offering? Well, you'll see it here in just a minute. So I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, he says, for to be carnally or naturally minded is death. It's death. When you're naturally minded and you're thinking about all the stuff that's going on in the world system out there, there's a death that works in that to try to deplete you, to try to get you to fear, to try to get you in anxiety and worry and concern about everything else that's going on out there. And it tries to pull you away from the promises of God and the fact that we do serve a risen Savior. Amen. But he says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded. And that's where the Lord caught me with that word. How are you being minded right now? So I got to thinking about this, and there are so many wonderful promises that we have in the Word of God. And this is what I'm saying. This is why it has to do with the offering right now. So there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes, and it says, he that observes the wind will not sow, and he that observes the rain will not reap or will not harvest. If you're observing all the other things that are going on out there and you're looking at how many people have lost their jobs and you're worried about your company and whether you're going to lose your job and maybe you're worried about whether the government's going to be able to take care of this or take care of that and if you've got enough money to do these things, well, as believers, we are grounded in the Word of God and we know that God is our source. That's why he tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So don't observe the wind and the rain and the coronavirus and the job losses and the stock market crashing and all those other things that are out there. Put your observation in the Word of God. And so the Lord took me, and the Lord does this with me, I guess. He does everybody differently, but when he takes me to a scripture, he'll start plugging in other scriptures that relate to that. And so if you look at this, but to be spiritually minded, well, I choose to be God inside me minded. I choose to be greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world minded. I choose to be I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me minded. I choose to be he sent his word and he healed me and he delivered me from all my destruction minded. I choose to be when I sow And when I give, it is given unto me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, minded. I choose to be when I bring the first fruits of my increase to the Lord, that my barn shall be filled with plenty, and my presses shall burst forth with new wine, minded. That's how I'm choosing to be minded. You can take the promises of God. You can take the scriptures of God and the promises of God. And in fact, he says that in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says that by these great and precious promises, you become a partaker of his divine nature. So I encourage you as you bring your offerings and as you know, you're sitting at home right now, you're not here in a church service for an usher to go around and pass the bucket right now, but you are there sitting there and you've got income that's come in. You have resources that God has provided you with, and we're encouraged in the scripture to bring all of our tithes into the storehouse of God. So during this time, you either have to bring your tithes to the church, you know, on a day when the church is open, or you need to mail it in. In fact, we're encouraging you to mail in your tithes and offerings. Don't forget during this time that we're still part of the kingdom of God, and our responsibility to do our part is to bring our one-tenth It's to bring our tithes into the storehouse. And the promise of God, the way we're to be minded with that, is that then he will open up the windows of heaven and he will pour out a blessing that you do not even have room enough to receive. Amen? So be God inside minded. Be promise of God minded. Be that there is all sufficiency in all things minded in yourself. And observe the things of God. Attend to his word. Incline your ear to his saying. Don't let it depart out of your heart, but keep it in the midst of your heart, because that's where life is. That's where the Spirit of God will raise you up, and all this other stuff that's going on in the world will not impact you, because you are a child of the King. Amen. So make your tithes and your offerings payable to New Life Church. Mail those in. In fact, you were mailed an envelope and a letter of instruction back a week or so ago. So make sure that you're doing that and continue to be a partaker of the divine nature of God as you do that. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to bring our beloved Pastor Willie Robinson up to minister the Word of God on this special Easter Sunday. So be blessed, and Pastor Willie, come take it away.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dr. Oda. You did well. Amen. I think you encouraged everybody, and I believe that the people of New Life are going to continually carry themselves in the order they have always carried themselves. They are givers. They are tithers, and they do love the Lord. Well, once again, I would like to say thank you guys for tuning in with us here at New Life Fellowship on this Resurrection Sunday. This is a Sunday that we usually have programs and just have a big to-do over what God has done through Jesus Christ by raising him from the dead. I'd like to start off by having a word of prayer with you guys at home. I know that you guys spend a lot of time in prayer because you don't have to make preparations for church. So you got up this morning and prayed. I'm just saying that by faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we are coming together to minister to the body here of New Life Fellowship and others that has decided to tune in with us and hear the word of God. I thank you, Father God, that it is an anointing. Anytime the word is going forth, I thank you that the recipients of the word here today have ears to hear, open hearts to receive the word of God, to put the word of God to work in their lives. That's the reason why we preach the word and teach the word, that believers catch a hold to it and put it to work, and let the word yield forth to them the hundredfold return. So we thank you for it, Holy Ghost. We thank you for it, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray, amen, amen. So here's what I like to talk about on this Resurrection Sunday, being that we're going to talk about the Lord, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what he went through to get salvation to us. And he did quite a bit to get salvation to us and paid the price based on what the law demanded. The heavenly archives demanded him to sacrifice himself that we may be set free. So we could call this Resurrection Sunday called to believe the resurrection. In reviewing our outline for the service today, we have a outline by our pastor, our late pastor, and you got it in the mail, and it's talking about resurrection, and it's talking about what the resurrection brought to us. So it's just important that you realize that Pastor Cruz put this together before he went to be with the Lord, and in remembrance of him, I like to say something about that before we close out today. Anyway, but right now I want to go with Matthew Gospel concerning the resurrection. If you do have your Bibles, open them to the 28th chapter of Matthew, and we'll begin looking there at his report. Because you know, just not only Matthew had a report, Mark has a report, John has a report of the resurrection. But there's some things I like to point out. First of all, in this, if you're taking notes, write down unbelief, and write down the fear that attacks. And what we want to see out of this lesson is that how we still deal with the same thing today in our lives. As we've began to seek the Lord and try to advance in the things that God has called us to do. We have obstacles. No one has an easy walk. If the devil's not bothering you, you're not doing anything. But if you're doing something for God, the devil is out trying to stop you. So let's look at the 28th chapter. Let's start at verse 1, and we'll read down, and then we'll go back and explain some of these verses and what we're talking about. Make sure you write down what I told you. If the fear of this operation that the disciples went through, and I want you to see the unbelief in it as well, so we can gain or capitalize on their unbelief and their fears, and let's see how Jesus upbraided them in this. Verse 1 reads, "And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and other Mary to see the sepulchre." Now, but let's just go on and read some more. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the woman, Fear ye not." It was the first fear. You can underline that or either just write down, "Fear ye not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth forth, he go before you into Galilee, where shall you see him, where you shall see him. And lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy." Could you imagine fear and great joy, unless it's reverential type fear? "And did run and bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, hello, guys, how you?" "And they came and held him. They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and they shall there see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came." You know what the watch was? "Came into the city." Those were the men that was watching the grave. "To show unto the chief priests all the things which were done. And they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel. They gave large money or amounts of money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now, let's go back and expound a little bit on this, and perhaps we can talk maybe a little bit more about this same thing from the book of Mark. Just depends on how the time runs on this. Okay, in this particular lesson, let me get my notepad here. In this particular lesson, before I start on it, I'd like to say behind the reading that the Jews had three major holidays that they celebrated. Those major holidays that they celebrate was Jubilee, the Passover, and Pentecost. Those were the three major days. So we do know before, if you listened to me last week, before we came into this portion of the lesson, we talked about what happened at the Passover. That's when the disciples asked Jesus Christ, where must we prepare the Passover? And he told them where to go and to find a man there bearing a pitcher of water that followed this guy, and he'll show you, tell him the master had need of a room, and they prepared a place for them to have Passover. Now, we know the Passover is during this particular time that was presented in Egypt when the Jews was in captivity by the Egyptians. It was instituted by Moses when they put it together. We kind of know what took place back there. They put the blood over the doorpost that the death angel would pass over. And so not knowing at this time, Moses not knowing that this would set up the Passover for mankind, that we would be passed over by eternal death, but we would receive eternal life, which is a good thing. So Jesus began to work toward bringing this to pass. He had his disciples with him when he came in at Galilee and picked them up and kept them all the way. So when he kept them all the way to the Passover, he told them, he said, I will rise from the dead and meet you at Galilee. Now, we kind of covered this last week, so I can't go back and get it all. I'll meet you guys at Galilee. Now, that was the starting place. That's where he met everybody. So he, as he began to fulfill this part of his ministry, he set it up to meet them at Galilee. You ought to write that down. He started at Galilee, and he met at Galilee with his disciples. Now, I can see one reason why he continually rebuked the disciples for their unbelief. You know, when he tried to get them to go across in the boat, he rebuked them when they woke him up from the sleep and he stilled the storm. He rebuked them, see, because he's expecting these guys behind his teaching to tap into believing God. So they saw what took place with Jesus Christ. So they realized that no man could go through what Jesus went through on the cross. They actually saw the blood. They actually saw the flesh torn. They actually saw the thorns on his head. They said, hey, can't nobody go through that and live. You know how come they said that? Because they were natural-minded. That's what Hal was talking about being afraid. Usually when fear comes in, it comes in because of men and women being afraid of what God has said and has been presented, something been presented in the natural that supersedes that. And when you allow the natural realm to supersede the spiritual realm, you walk in fear. You see, they saw, you know, like for instance, Peter, you know, he saw the wind and making the water arise and making it roar, and he got afraid. You see, because he took his eyes off Jesus. But what Jesus was constantly trying to make these men see, that you have to pay attention to me. You have to obey what I said. You have to be able to tune out the world system and tune in God's system, which you cannot do unless you give time to the Word of God, unless you spend time fellowshipping. I can see more clearly today than ever before why God said, be not unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Be not unevenly yoked, because you know what? The natural realm will pull you in much quicker than the spiritual realm. Spiritual things are already hard to catch a hold to, so we really don't need the outside world to deal with based on spiritual things. We need to deal with spiritual things at all time to develop ourselves that we might walk in the fullness thereof. So you can see when Mary Magdalene and Mary went to the tomb, the angel said, fear not. I'm wondering this all the time. Why would they go to the tomb when he told them that he was going to rise? He told them at that last supper, I'm going to rise, fella, and I'm going to meet you in Galilee. But you know, the sheep scattered. They ran. They went. And they hid themselves, so to speak. They didn't even want to talk about it. So when Mary Magdalene went back and told them what had taken place, the Bible said they didn't believe it. They didn't believe Mary's report. Now, I told you I was gonna rise from the dead, that I would meet you at a certain place. You didn't trust my word enough to go to the place just to see if I would show up. You could have just went there with doubt and unbelief. But you didn't even go that far. You went hid yourself. And when they hid themselves, they wouldn't believe the report. When they came back and said, he has risen, you see. And they went down to the tomb to see. One writer said, they didn't believe it. See, they ran to the tomb. But see, that's the way unbelief works. It works in a manner where you have to see. That means you're walking in the natural realm and not in the spiritual realm. Because you have to believe God's word. You see, Jesus trying to make these men and women see that how you going to make someone else believe the resurrection? You see it and don't believe it. You see? So it's a lot of training has to take place. There's some bonding together has to come together with them. You see, we always talk about doubting Thomas, but you know everybody doubted. Did nobody believe that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead? Now, I could see the women going to finish the work that they had began. I realize the scripture says that it was a napkin had to be put over his eyes. Certain things had to be done to complete the embalming system. But since the Jewish people had already made a decision to seal the grave based on what Jesus said, that he would rise from the dead in 3 days, they didn't want it to happen no kind of way. So let's seal the grave, seal the stone. And not only did they seal the stone to the grave, they made the soldiers lie about it when the soldiers told them what happened. You see, when the angel appeared to the soldiers and they saw him, they was like dead men. You see, so I tell you what. That angel appeared somewhere else. He appeared with Peter one time. You know, Peter was in jail, and everybody was like dead men. Peter just walked all up around and just went on out. Nobody knew anything. It cost them their lives. But I tell you what, you got an angel. I got an angel. You see, if we believe God, our angel worked the same way. The word of God tells me that the angels hearken to the word of God. You see, when you put the word out, the angel worked. Guess what happened when you draw the word in? The angels don't have anything to work on. You see, you pull him in, you see, but you can keep the word going before you. It's like Hal was saying to you guys earlier, by meditating in the word day and night, spend time in the word, see that word working for you, see those angels working for you, see the Spirit of God imparting things to you that you need to hear. And you begin to think on these things. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. You want to be the things God said we ought to be? You got to think you those things. How would you think you're a champion if you don't ever get out and practice? How would you think you're a winner if you never get out and play? You have to get out and practice this. So we call it a lifestyle. This is the way we live. I think these men going in the same direction. I think they want to see themselves live a life before God that's pleasing to God, that will work in that everyday life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, now, I just kind of got away from my reading, but I'm going to get back to the preacher. Come on, man. I ain't got a chance to preach to you guys in so long. You guys been away from me about a month now and haven't been able to get out and lay the word out to you and give you some things that you could go home and think on and meditate on and spend time in your prayer thinking about the good things of God. He wants us to be successful. That's the way Joshua got successful. He did what God told him to do. He spent time meditating in the word day and night, observing to do everything that was written therein. So that made him a prosperous man. You know, God never changed. We can use the same recipe, and we can be who God called us to be. Because all of us do have a call, and God has called all of us to do a work. And that's what we want to do. That's why we're headed. That's where the anointing is. That's where your fullness is when you walk in that place. I like the ideas when you get there, everything is waiting for you there to complete what God has called you to do. So if you're running short, that means you're not in the place where God called you to be, because your provisions are not met there. But I tell you, God is the God that's more than enough. He wants to meet every provision. So we see here where the disciples, they made a decision, didn't they? After they got through, after Mary Magdalene got through ministering to them about seeing Jesus Christ and him being risen, to go to Galilee. But now, the scripture lets us know that Jesus appeared to these guys. He kept appearing. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to her on the way, and she fell down. Her and the other Mary, they fell, and they grabbed hold to his garments. One writer said he told them, "Don't touch me. You know, I have not ascended yet to your father and my father, but go and tell." See, he had to go. I like what Mark said, and he said, "Go tell Peter and the other scholars." You see, Peter had a special kind of unbelief working in him. He saw everything took place, and then Jesus told him he would doubt him three times, and he did. You know, that had to be working on his conscience, because any time you doubt the master, and I'm going to tell you something about this. Peter didn't want to doubt. That's why he said what he did. He said, "Not me." Because he said, "Man, I'll die with you. Everything I've seen, all that you've done, I'm just going to walk it out." But I tell you, the Roman soldiers must have been some mean guys. Because, you see, he didn't want to fall in line with what he's seen taking place with Jesus Christ down the cross. So Jesus Christ, knowing man's heart, he said, "You tell Peter too. You tell him all of them, we'll meet there at Galilee." Now, my question to you is, why do you want to meet at Galilee? Why do you want to go back where they started? Jesus started the ministry there with these guys after he left from getting thrown out of the temple for reading Isaiah over there, talking about he was over there talking about the Jubilee. See, that was his entry, the Jubilee. And I told you the three major holidays, don't forget them. It'll be Jubilee, and there'll be the day of Pentecost is the last one, and the Passover would be the middle holiday. So right now we're dealing with the Passover, but when Jesus come in, he come in on the Jubilee. See, in the Jubilee is when you get everything back. That's why he said, "I come to minister to the broken heart." He said he was coming to give back to the people who had lost, see, everything back. He said, "These scriptures are fulfilled in your ears these days." They said, no. You know what they said? Ain't you Joseph boy? You the one over there we saw the other day building a shed? That's what they said. See, and Jesus said, "No prophet is made welcome at home." You see? He said, and he gave him several examples. You see, he said, he was talking about the widow woman where Elijah went. He said, "There was a whole lot of widows here in Israel, but God sent him somewhere else." Because you see, people be rejecting you at home. He'd have came to his own, he probably would have just got rejected. You see? So you see Jesus giving examples how people, nature is, and the nature of the people. They actually want to kill Jesus. One writer said they're trying to throw him off a hill headlong because he made the statement that he made about this year, about the Jubilee, was fulfilled in their ears that day. He was going to minister sight to the blind. No. You see, he was going to do these things. You see, he said, this is the day of Jubilee. Yeah, you see, rejected by his people. Boy, I have to tell you, it's hard on the flesh to be rejected anyway. But he started there. He started preaching the word, and he pulled his men together there. And as he and the disciples walked with him those 3 years, and he taught those men, he took them back to the place to complete the ministry that he was working, that he was called to do and to impart to them. So when he met these men back at Galilee, he began to talk to them about the power had been invested in him. He said, all power has been given unto me. And he immediately turned around and gave it to them. Out of all that unbelief, he gave him, he said, "Now you go." See, he said, "Now you take the power. You go." He said, "You go. In my name, you do some things." He said, "You go." He said, "You'll cast out devils in my name." You see, he said, "You'll lay hands on the sick in my name." You see, and they'll recover. You see, you preach to people and they'll believe what you say and they'll be saved. Those that won't be saved in my name. See, he's delegating the power that was given to him right back to his men there in the church to go and do. But did you notice something else that he said about that situation? He said, you go. How many of us still today asking Jesus heal so-and-so, Jesus raise, Jesus, no. The commission now is on you and me, the church. We are the ones that have to go and cast out devils. He's talking about casting devils out, not per se out of a person, but the authority over devils, to cast them out of any situation, not just where people are concerned. It's to get people well. We can go and say, I come to lay my hands on you in obedience to the great head of the church. I come to lay my hands because I've been given the authority to go. But let me tell you something. We can go just like the disciples went. You know, they wouldn't go to Galilee. They went hid themselves. They stayed back out of the way. Mary Magdalene tried to tell them that what Jesus had said. They had to go see for themselves. Went down to the tomb and looked for themselves. They couldn't take her word for it. They didn't take Jesus' word for it there when they had the Last Supper. They weren't taking her word then. So Jesus showed up. The Bible said he upbraided them. In other words, he got on to them about the unbelief again. See, he said something to him, but I'm saying to you, this ought to be a lesson to me and you. We should never want to be in unbelief. We should never want to be in doubt. We should fight that with all that is within us. God, you know, and I've been hearing this all ever since we've been going through this pandemic situation, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, which is true. But how many people believe it? See, everybody's saying it. But when they get ready to leave home, what do? They put their gloves on. They put their masks on. You say, I believe it all right. But, you know, this here is just, you know, so my neighbors won't think that I'm trying to be funny. This, you see, you believe it all right, but you're not acting on it. The same thing here. They believe Jesus Christ is going to die because they seen it. Couldn't help but I saw him hanging on the cross. I helped him wrap him up. You see, I know where they took him and buried him. But to him raised up, to be raised from the dead, I don't believe that. You see, and you know, Thomas just was bold about it. He said, I got to put my hands in, my fingers in the holes. Before I believe it, he just got all the way down dirty. He said, boy, I just got to rub on him and see. So he said, yeah, just come on, rub. Just come on, look and see. But that's how unbelief and doubt works. You see, men and women don't believe it. So they don't believe it. They say they do, but they don't believe it. Now, what we believe is this. We believe that when we pray, God answers. But we don't act like it. See, so I'm like what Hal was teaching. You have to continually. You have to make it a lifestyle. You have to keep living till you start getting this results. You just don't get up one day and say, I believe God. And then everything just fall in place. You have to grow in this. I like the way the scripture says, you know, if you obey, desire a sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. And as you begin to grow with expectation, you see, my hope is in the word. I'm expecting this word to work for me. I'm not going to get a miracle overnight. It's just because I prayed this time. Now, somebody might come in agreement. Some things might happen that make you think that. But I guarantee you, and the more you walk with God, the more you realize that you have to be grounded in the word. You have to have the word developed in your heart. That's why I said you have to write this down. Fear and unbelief, they'll run together. You see, that fear automatically pulls you away from the faith. You see, faith's going to always be there. Because faith is the word of God. So when fear show up, you can say, well, I'm not acting on the word. There's no faith there. That is fear there. I'm acting on something else. Whether I think it, whether I believe it, or whether I'm just afraid. The angel knew they was afraid, so he told them when he showed up, fear not, that he is solid white. Man, I mean, take on an outfit white. I mean, just white like snow. You know, knock these guys out. They over here shaking. They don't know what to do. But he told them, hey, don't you guys fear about this. You see, Jesus did just like he told you. He did exactly what he said. He's risen from the dead. Not only has he risen from the dead, he want to meet you in Galilee, like he said. See, the angel knew what had took place over there during the Last Supper, where he told them guys to come. Hey, and I tell you something else. We just people who don't follow instructions. It's hard for us to follow instructions. I tell you something, it'll do you good. Just write everything now, step by step. Just go through it, just like you do a good recipe. Just go through it, step by step, till I get it down. And, I do my confessions that way. I read my confessions right now. I know them all, but I take them out, and I read them confessions. I make that confession alive to me because I continually read that confession. I take my time and put my fingers on it, and I go back through it, because if I don't put my fingers on it, I find myself quoting it, see? So I put my fingers on it so I can get every word off of it. I can just feed every word down into my spirit, who I am and what belonged to me and what I expect out of God, what I expect about that 91st Psalm to take place. If I expect them to fall at my right hand and they won't come nigh me, I expect them to fall. You see, but if I don't expect them to fall, what I'm going to do? I'm going to put on my outfit. I'm going to go out there with the rest of them. They won't know me from the world. I'm dressed up like the rest of you. You pass me in the store, I got my mask on. You think, well, you know everybody in the store. Ain't no believers in here. Everybody covered down. See, but now I'm not telling people to go out and tempt God. I'm not saying that. I'm saying believe what you know is the truth. Believe that you are delivered. You see, act like you are delivered. You see, not going out saying, hey, you got the virus, breathe on me. No, you're not tempting God that way. Don't be no fool. I don't care whoever you are. Just be straight up. Just say, no, I believe God. I believe I'm delivered, so I don't have to have all that. You see, I heard one preacher on the television. He said, I just believe that I'm healed and that it won't come nigh me. Now, I'm not pushing nobody else who don't believe it. Now, if you don't believe, you keep your outfit on. Don't you? And you keep on living out there until you get to a place where you do believe it. You see, I know it'll work with you if you don't believe, and you come to that place. So I'm telling you, if you're young in Christ, put it on. If you've developed in Christ, you don't have to put it on. You see, you walk it out based on where you are with Christ. Now, I tell you what, you can measure your faith. You can find out where you are in faith. You see, and I tell you that one of the better ways to measure it is, you know, you can just ask and believe God for finances. You ain't got to be greedy, just believe him for $10, you see. And if a week or two of that 10 ain't come in, you say, I ain't got $10 worth of faith, you see. Because I know God. I know if the faith, you got the faith, he'll get you the 10. Now, if somebody have to, hey, look, if he have to send you fishing like he did Peter, he'll get the money to you because you believe God, because his word won't fail. His word, he said, I'll watch over my word to perform it. You see, if you believe it. I'm saying set your own gauge out there somewhere. If you believe in God for healing and healing hadn't manifested yet, put on your outfit. Don't you go out without that outfit. But now if you believe in God and you know the word of God is true and you're standing on it, you've been getting results out of it, don't put it on. You don't have to. Because you say you're already covered. And you're covered by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And it's continually working. You see, now during this Resurrection Sunday, this is what I would like for us to see as believers. That Jesus Christ made that prime sacrifice. See, you know, in Egypt they put the blood over the door. But I tell you what Jesus did. He took the blood to the holiest of holies. He cleaned the way in there for you and me. He cleaned it up for all of us. He redeemed us completely from the curse of sicknesses and diseases. See, when that come alive to you, sickness and diseases can't reside in you. You see, you putting the word out all the time. I tell you something about the devil. If you got praise music and praise and the word of God going all the time, he don't hang around you anyway. He ain't gonna try to get on you. He don't even want to be around you. You know how come, don't you? Those praises, they steal the enemy. They, the boss will bring him to a standstill. I say, I can't stay around this kind of going on right here. I'm finna go down to the joint where they showing out down there. That's where I'm going. Where somebody else down there not listening to the word of God, who not praising and worshiping God. But that's what we want to do. We want to spend time before God. We want to stay before him in praise and worship and realizing that resurrection, they mean something to me. It ain't just didn't happen. He rose from the dead that I might live. He rose from the dead that I might walk in the fullness of salvation. So, with that being said, I'm going to say a little bit about what my pastor wrote. And one of he actually made out a program, and he put this on a program. He says in this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ we see the clear demonstration of the power of the true God. You see it. You see it right now. A demonstration of the power. And that demonstration is that God raised him from the dead. Amen. And boy, that's a demonstration right there. Because see, they saw the hideous death. They saw how he didn't look like a man. But God raised him up from the dead and he looked just like a man. He had everything back. I mean, God restored everything. Gave him everything back that he had. Hey, that's good. And that's a sure sign. You and I must be able to impart this to other people. Now listen at this end. Resurrection proved that Jesus Christ is God. Romans 1:4. It proves that he is God. He was God manifested in the flesh. You see, God and his word is one. You see, God sent his word. When God sent his word, he sent himself. God's word never returns to him void, but always accomplishes that which pleases him. Salvation depends on our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9-10. You know, I was thinking about that. And many times people don't believe, see, when you go by and tell them Jesus Christ died for their sins. And I can understand that because they haven't been taught death, burial, and resurrection. But I like about Jesus Christ's grace and the mercy of God. If a man confessed that he believed it, you see, he confessed that, well, you know, I celebrated Easter. I didn't do nothing but hunt eggs, but I celebrated Easter. You see, I believe that Jesus died, and I believe he rose just because I hunted eggs. You know, God will save him. God has caused, that's the way grace and mercy work. But it's grace through faith. Now, God gives us both of them, see? Because you get his word, he gave you his word, you see? And then his grace comes in, and all you have to do is believe it, confess it, and believe it in your heart, you can have it, you see? Now, a lot of people confess it, but don't believe it. You say, well, how come they don't believe it? Because they don't never act on it. You see, they go right back to where they were. They do the same thing as they were doing before. And they tell you that they're born again. And then when I see them, I say, well, they don't bear no fruit to it. And Jesus said we can judge the tree by the fruit it bears. You see, so I'm perfectly legal to judge you by the fruit you bear. You know, if you're not living for Jesus Christ, you got all kind of foul language in your mouth. You act in every way that the word of God said don't act. And you still smoking reefer, you know, and you still drinking cold beers. You know, I'm not saying that you won't get to heaven doing that kind of thing. I'm just saying that don't bear no fruit to it. So, and I would tell you, you know, you're not bearing fruit to what God told you. So I know you're not getting the benefits of it because I know what God does. I know what that sin will do for you. That sin will kill you. You can be born again, that sin will kill you because the wages of sin is death, see. And you don't never have to walk in your salvation and sin will kill you. And kill you dead as you have to die. Now, let's look at one or two more, and then we'll close out today. I'm probably going over time, ain't it, Pat? Jesus, stay with it. I like that. I like this. Stay with it. Okay. The resurrection of Jesus Christ demonstrates to us that all the teachings of Jesus Christ are true. John 6:40. All the teachings of Jesus Christ is true, which is absolutely right. Absolutely, because he said, I won't say nothing unless I hear the Father say it. So we don't know what Jesus got to say about a lot of this stuff, no way. Because he said, I never said anything unless I hear the Father say it. Now look at this next one right here. The resurrection of Jesus Christ secure our justification or our righteousness. Amen, we've been made. I like that. It says we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, when they make you something, and you made that way, I've been made the righteousness of God. So I'm his righteousness. I'm in right standing with God. I have kingdom rights and kingdom principles that I can operate in right now, today. I can act just like I'm in the kingdom and get the results based on what God has done for me through Jesus Christ. Made me righteous, not holding my trespasses against me. I like that. He put them all in the seal of forgiveness. Amen. Amen. You can't see either. Can't see the banks on that thing. You just throw them off in there, you know. One guy said he got a big sign up there, no fishing. Put them in the sea and nobody can fish them out. Just let them go on about their business. They'll stay out there in the sea. I like that. So that's what he done to us by making us righteous. He got rid of everything. Now, one more. No, I only got two more. our own resurrection depends completely on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. Now, if you've been writing these down, then you can go back and you can look at these. This is talking about it depends on that resurrection, which is right, because if Jesus God didn't raise him from the dead, we're not raised from the dead. We still living as sinners, and we most miserable because we're going to die a sinner's life and go to the devil's pit. But now we know the devil been judged. We know the devil is the one that's going to be down there. We know that if we're born again, our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. The power of Christian life in the present is the power of his resurrection. This is in Ephesians 1:19-21 and Romans 6-4. The power of Christians, of the Christian life, is in the presence. In the present is the power of the resurrection. Is the power of the resurrection. I don't know where Pastor Cruz got that one from, but I'm going to look at it and believe it too. You see, that is what our pastor put down, and I thought it needed reiterating. I thought he did a good job on it by putting it down for Resurrection Sunday, because we all have been resurrected into this life, in this life of holiness. We've been resurrected into it. So let's act like it. Let's put on the whole armor of God. Let's act like born-again people. When you begin to act like born-again people, keep your mouth shut to the world, they all think you're born-again people. They all, and the devil is afraid of you because you won't talk to them. You just talk the word of God, see? Because the world is always against you. Always remember that. Well, Father God, we thank you that we spent time here today on video talking to the members here at New Life Fellowship, being that we're in the situation we're in with the city government and state government. We thank you that we still have a way to reach one another. We thank you, Father God, that your word won't return to you void. I thank you, Father, that something was said today to help some of our people, that we'll come together. And when we come together, we'll come in the power of your might, giving you honor and glory. Remembering this day as we celebrate it every year, Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus rose from the dead, that we might live in the fullness of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right. All right. Thank you, Brother Odie. I thought you did good. I thought you did good on offering.
I forgot to pray over the offering.
I thought you did get out. I tell you what, we'll come right together and go back to soul winning. I'm looking for Aaron and his son. What'd you say your name was again? Winston, that's right, Winston. Oh, man, look at that. Happy Easter. I've been hunting the eggs. I got a yellow.